An effort to recall three Haines Assembly members moves forward, and a Haines Assemblyman publicizes critical accounts of police behavior to motivate investigation. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. An effort to recall half of the Haynesboro Assembly is moving forward. Petitions to recall Assembly members Tresham Gregg, Tom Morfitt, and Heather Lundy have been drawn up on the basis of Alaska Open Meetings Act violations and misuse of official positions. Lundy and Morfitt are the body's two newest members. They've been on the Assembly for about 6 months. Gregg was elected in 2015. Resident Don Turner Jr. submitted three separate applications for recall petitions last week. In a letter to Turner released late Wednesday afternoon, Borough Clerk Julie Causey said she and the borough attorney had reviewed the applications. At the attorney's recommendation, Causey found some of the allegations in each petition application legally sufficient. The petition to recall Gregg will contain one allegation, a violation of the Open Meetings Act. That claim is also on petitions for Morfitt and Lundy. Turner alleges the three and Assemblymember Ron Jackson communicated privately about whether to approve a piece of the harbor expansion project. In her letter, Causey says if true, the action would constitute misconduct in office and is sufficient grounds for recall. Petitions to recall Morfitt and Lundy will contain a second allegation, misuse of an official position. Turner says the two assembly members tried to coerce a subordinate and affect their personal or financial interests when they requested the police department provide the full blotter. The police chief scaled back the information included in the blotter several months ago. Morfitt is the publisher of the Chilkat Valley News. Lundy writes obituaries for the paper. Turner says Morfitt and Lundy would benefit from the publication of the blotter because of their affiliations with the paper and their personal blogs. Causey removed several allegations from the petitions that she and the attorney found legally insufficient. Turner and the other nine sponsors on the recall applications have 60 days to gather signatures on the petitions. Each of the three separate documents needs 258 valid signatures to trigger a special election. KHNS will continue to follow the recall effort with reaction from those involved in weeks to come. On Tuesday, a Haines Assemblyman used an unconventional strategy to put pressure on borough administration to scrutinize police practices. Tom Morfitt publicized four critical accounts of individuals' encounters with Haines police. Morfitt says the accounts raise serious questions about police behavior and accountability. The police chief calls Morfitt's actions disturbing. Morfitt says the intimidating tactics four different people described after interactions with police lead him to believe the behavior is not an aberration.
I have a duty as a public representative to represent and protect the people of Haynesboro. This behavior, I think, raises legitimate questions about how the police interact with residents here.
Perhaps the most serious allegation is that a police officer outed a confidential informant. That claim comes from a letter a Haines resident wrote to Chief Heath Scott and interim manager Brad Ryan a couple months ago. The resident accuses police of harassing and bullying his adult son, who he says is mentally handicapped. While the letter Morfitt provided did give the resident's names, KHNS is not at the request of the resident who wrote the letter. He says he is worried about a possible backlash if his son's identity were publicized further. His letter alleges that the police gained information from his son as a confidential informant, but then outed him. Chief Scott says the man was not a confidential informant.
I'm not going to get into the specifics of it. I would just say that when we deal with a confidential informant, we have a policy and a procedure for dealing with that. We vet that through the DA's office, and there are certain things that you do during the prosecution of the case involving a confidential informant. This individual was not a confidential informant.
As for the other accounts, two tell of being pulled over and questioned by multiple police officers at a time in an intimidating manner. One is from artist Chris Cheney, who asks why two officers in separate vehicles were needed to stop and question her. The other says police acted aggressively and unprofessionally toward a man whose dog got in a fight with another animal. Scott says he doesn't have the full story on these incidents. Sergeant Josh Dryden added there are reasons why the officers might have been suspicious of the people they pulled over.
I'm not going to get into them, but there are other factors involved of why that officer was, you know, making that legal contact with that person.
KHNS is not using the names of two of the citizens whose accounts Morfitt revealed because we have not yet been able to reach and independently confirm the information with those people.
And the reason that I am releasing them to the public is that these are accounts by reputable individuals in our community, and these accounts cannot be lightly dismissed.
Morfitt gave two other reasons for his unconventional move. One, he says his time on the assembly may be limited because he's one of three members under threat of recall. Two, interim manager Ryan is proposing an increase in the police department budget that would pay for a fifth officer. Chief Scott says he is alarmed that Morfitt discussed accusations against officers in a public forum.
The fact that these came up in an assembly meeting are disturbingly inappropriate. And I'm trying to use measured language. They are disturbingly inappropriate from leaders of our community.
Scott says Morfitt's actions circumvent the confidential process to handle personnel matters. Sergeant Dryden says he thinks publicizing the complaints was a violation of his employee rights. He and Scott have reached out to the officers' union.
We're constantly trying to seek the public's trust. Things like this that are one-sided, that are judged in the media, erode at our ability to work with the community.
Some of the assembly members were also uncomfortable with the situation. Assembly member Margaret Friednauer said she felt Morfitt was not following the proper channels. But assembly member Heather Lendy said even though they might not agree with Morfitt's methods, they owe it to the public to get an explanation. The assembly voted 5-1 to direct Ryan to look into the allegations and report back. Mike Case was opposed. Ryan said Wednesday he was still figuring out how to handle the situation, since the allegations were given to him secondhand and aren't all formal complaints. King salmon fishermen in southeast Alaska will see a significant reduction in their harvest this season. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced on Monday that trawlers will be allowed over 100,000 fewer fish than last year under management guidelines negotiated under the Pacific Salmon Commission. And it's unlikely that trawlers will be able to make up the difference in their fallback species, chum, if forecasts prove correct. KCAW's Robert Woolsey attended the spring troll meeting in Sitka and filed this report.
Trawlers were clearly discouraged by the announcement, but it was not unexpected. King salmon or Chinook are not returning to their home rivers in southeast to spawn in sufficient numbers. Four of the region's six major Chinook-producing rivers are forecast to fall at or below escapement goals this summer, continuing a downward trend that began in 2012. King salmon trolling is divided into three seasons, spring, summer, and winter. With only 155,000 kings to catch over the entire year, southeast trawlers could have an especially short summer season. Grant Hagerman is the regional trollfish biologist for ADF&G.
Well, a lot of it depends on where we're at after winter and spring close. It could be that we carry tens of thousands of fish extra in, but yeah, we could be looking at somewhere less than 5 days.
Summer king trolling opens on July 1st and sees around 900 boats on the water. Last year, summer kings averaged about 12 pounds dressed and brought in an average of $5.10 per pound. Managers try to limit trollers to about 70% of the summer harvest in that first opener. Sitka-based troller Eric Jordan has co-authored a proposal to the Alaska Board of Fisheries to further restrict the July king harvest to 60%. Jordan's hope is to see better value on the kings caught later in the summer.
The fish are worth more, they're bigger, and the catch rates are less in August. So please do not end up catching the whole quota in the first few days of July.
Winter king trollers get the best value for their harvest. As of April 10th, trollers had landed almost 20,000 kings, about half of them in Sitka. The price for winter kings hit $10 a pound in January and has remained high. Managers expect the strong harvest to continue through the end of April, when trollers will have landed about 45,000 Chinook. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.